Open your Bibles with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, please. I would like to read with you from verse 19. John 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit. Verse 26, And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. The book of the Acts, please, chapter 2, for just a few verses. Chapter 1, verse 13. Acts 1 and 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. I would like just for a few minutes this afternoon to point out to you that though I know the three portions we have read together take place at different times, I want to point out to you there are four at least similarities in each one of them that we should notice as we read these portions together. First of all, I often think as I read Acts chapter 1 how the disciples must have feared as they look at one another in the upper room that day, having remembered that their Lord has gone back to glory, remembering what we read in the last of the Gospel of Luke, where he had gone with them to the Mount Olivet. And as he went up or was carried up from their sight, he raised his hands and he blessed them. And he said to them to go back to Jerusalem and to tarry there and wait for the coming of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And I think I see them as they sit in the room this day, possibly two or three of them at first, and they're looking around to see who's going to arrive. Let me tell you, there was a lot of persecution in the early church. And there undoubtedly were many who stood in the crowd the day the Lord went back to glory, who stood with him the day he raised his hands and blessed them, who did not show up at the upper room. But we do have a list of some who were there. And I think I see Peter or James or Matthew as they get there first and they look around because the doors are going to be shut again. They look around to see who will be there. Now this is the first point I want to leave with you this afternoon. I want to look at the people who are there. Because after all, anything that we do in our lifetime as we seek to serve the Lord or in any secular labor of any sort, you and I deal with people. We deal with all kinds of people, and we ourselves are among them. And I want to say to you this afternoon, without even hesitating a moment, that the Lord's people, the Christians, are the finest on the earth. Now there may be someone here and you're young. And you've been around and you've met a lot of fine people that are not Christian. You praise God for every one of them. Because I want to tell you something. It's sometimes really surprising when you get to know these people real well. Maybe they're Christians after all and you didn't know it. Because Christians are wonderful people. And it has always amazed me that we meet some who are so critical of the people of God. It doesn't matter where they are. It doesn't matter who they might be. It doesn't matter the color of their skin or their nationality. They belong to the Lord. These are the people who are meeting together in the three portions that I've read to you. These are the followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're wonderful people. And as they met in the days of the Bible, persecution was so great that I believe they were bound together, closer, probably a closer knit group than many of our groups of believers today. And oh, child of God, let me say to you this afternoon, I know you've enjoyed the conference. I know you have enjoyed being together. And some of you may come from areas where the Christians are scattered. They're sparse. There are not very many of them. And you may be in an area where you do not enjoy fellowship with many believers. And you know this is true, that it's wonderful to get together with the people of God. That's why the Word of God makes it very clear that we should not neglect our meeting together. Let me ask you, dear child of God, how many things are there in your life and mine that keep us from meeting together with the Lord's people? I heard a man say not too long ago, but the day has changed and come to the place that it's so hard to get out during the week. Maybe one has to work. You can't help that. It's hard to get together on Sunday evening, or it's hard to get together at other times the way we used to meet together. But let me say, I think it should just be the opposite. The darker the world gets, the more sin is rampant around us, the more we ought to meet together, the more we ought to try to be together. The Lord's people are a help one to another. Look at the people that met here. Look at the list in the upper room in Acts chapter 1. Mary is there. The other women are there. With the women, it says. And there's Matthew and Bartholomew and Peter. And they're not saying, well, look, Peter, down there at the cross, you remember when we went to the cross? You weren't very close there, brother. You were standing off near the fire. You didn't show your colors there. Well, of course you say, but something happened to Peter between the cross and this time. Well, that's true. And I think that as they met together, one thing that's absent here because of the persecution around them is the criticism among them. They're very happy to have Peter there. And Peter's very happy to see the women coming along. And everyone's just thrilled when Mary comes in. These are God's people. And things that have happened are forgotten. And they see a person, or at least in two of these portions I want to point out to you, they're going to see a person that will draw their mind's eye and their physical eye from themselves to the Lord. But first of all, as we look at the people, let me say, there was very little said in the Word of God about what Peter did or what he didn't do. You know, I wrote a little something in the back of my Bible that I read every once in a while to help myself, and I hope it will help you. You may have unwittingly criticized God's people. We do that. And then we go home, and when we get alone, then the Lord says, well, look, buddy, you're not so good yourself. And you look back and you think, boy, that was a fine brother after all. We didn't agree on something, or that sister or that young person that we may have criticized. After all, they belong to the Lord, and they're pretty good believers. And when you think about it and you get away from them, you think of how foolish it was. You remember the little seed? The little seed that lay in the ground, and he soon began to sprout. Now, which of all the flowers around, he mused, shall I come out? Now, he said, the lilies, their faces very fair and proud, and then its fashions, though, are old. And then he said, the violet is very well, but not a flower I'd choose. So said this little seed, nor yet the Canterbury bell, because I never cared for blues. And so he criticized each flower, this silly little seed, until he woke one summer morn and found himself a weed. I often think about this, and I often read it. Let's remember that God's people are the best on earth. And wherever you meet a child of God, the heart gets warm, and you get away from those that we have to contact every day who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you meet a child of God, and the conversation is so different. Immediately they begin to speak about the Lord and the things of the Lord and the work of the Lord and the people of God. And all of a sudden you realize here's a brother or a sister in the Lord, and your heart is warmed up, people. But remember, as you look at this portion of the Word of God, you have something that's really grand. You have the presence. And the presence here is a presence of a man who loved you, and the man who gave himself for you. For though the doors were shut because of the people around, this one need not open the doors. He appeared in their midst. And this one was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And oh, let me say to you again this afternoon, there is nothing that warms and thrills the heart of a gathering like this of the people of God than to know that in this building this afternoon, in the midst of the people he loves, stands the Lord Jesus Christ. And to you who are younger, let me say the principle laid down in the New Testament is as good today as it ever has been. The Old Testament made it very clear that the lawgiver would not depart, or the scepter would not depart from Shiloh, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh would come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. What a wonderful principle. What a wonderful truth of the Word of God. We have come this afternoon to see the Lord. We are here around him, and he's here. And he's just as real this afternoon in this elementary school building as he was in the upper room, or in the room that's mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 20. The presence of the Lord. Let me say, if the Lord were not here, if his presence were not with us, then, children of God, we might as well go home. Someone says, but I attended a group of so-called believers, and it seemed to me they didn't say much about the Lord, and they didn't open the Word of God, and there were a lot of things done I didn't appreciate and I didn't enjoy. Let me suggest to you, maybe the Lord wasn't there either. Think about this now. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord is here. Not only the people, but the presence of the Lord. And over again you'll notice it is the disciples are within, the doors are closed, and Jesus Christ is in the midst. And then we have him saying, peace. For wherever you have people, and wherever you have the presence of the Lord in the midst of his people, you have an adoration for the person of Christ, and you do have peace. For the Lord said to them, peace be unto you. Now this conference started with a message concerning peace within the heart. of believers in a troubled world. Though I want to say to you, child of God, this afternoon, take courage. We have peace with God because the Lord Jesus paid the price at Calvary. Because the precious blood has been shed, our sins are forgiven. Heaven is our home. The children of God are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. The Lord Jesus is the gathering center, and we have peace with God. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, peace unto you. He wants us to have the peace of God. He wants us to have that within our hearts that we need to calm us. I can see them as the doors are closed and they get together and there is a tension because they're waiting. They've heard the Lord is alive. Some of them weren't too sure about the resurrection. Some of them weren't too sure about the message that was given. The women are maintaining, we saw him. He's alive. We have seen him. We've been with him. We've talked to him. In these portions in John's Gospel, it talks about the disciples and not the women. But the message has been given to them in this particular instance, and they're waiting. And then the Lord appears. And he said to them to calm their hearts, to settle them back. He said, look, peace be unto you. I want you to enjoy this time together, he's saying. I want you to enjoy one another. I want to be with you. This has been my desire, to be in the midst of you folks, because you belong to me and I belong to you. A day is coming when every child of God will be present in glory and the church, the bride of Christ, will be complete. And in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be peace. No peace on earth, for the Prince of Peace was cast out. But up there, he's the light of glory. Up there, he's the center of all gathering. Up there, he is everything. And there's going to be real divine peace. I would like to say to you that are younger, for just a moment, I don't belong to any denominational group. I don't belong to any particular organization of man on earth. Sometimes this gets people so stirred up. I've had people say to me, but Bill, you have to play on somebody's team. You must belong to somebody. And I say, praise God, I do. I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do. He's mine and I'm his. But who do you work with? You must be working with someone. I am. I'm working with the children of God who meet together and believe the truths that I've pointed out to you already. Who believe that when a gathering of people come together, these people, especially in the case of remembering our Lord, meeting together for prayer, meeting together for the study of the Bible, these are born-again Christian people. These are Bible-believing, God-honoring people. You say, well, that's a big order. Well, let me tell you, there are many of them, praise God. Many of them. And I would say to you this afternoon, because there are many of you I do not know, if you are a young man or a young woman saved by the grace of God, and you adorn a building where the word of God is denied, get out. You're dishonoring the Lord. I know people get all stirred up, and they say, well, what do you mean? Can't I be a testimony? You won't be a testimony very long. I can say by personal experience, the people I have met who really stood for God's truth and said, this is the word of God and I cannot accept what you're teaching. Either you go or the preacher goes. You can't tell me you're both going to stay because they won't let you. And not only that, you are aiding and you're helping with your means, with your money, with your time, and you're wasting your Christian life. Now, I'm saying if you're near a group that's a Bible-believing, God-honoring group, get there and honor the Lord. These people are believers meeting together. And the presence of God is there. And the presence of God has been promised where God's people meet together. And he's in their midst too. And there's peace there. Now someone said to me, and he was an Irish preacher, he said, you can't tell me there's peace even where the people of God meet together if there's too many Irish there. Well, you see, I married an Irish girl, and I had to say amen. I believe that could be true. I will agree with you 100%, but even the Irish, when they get saved, they are so different. Praise God, they are so different. They love the Lord, and you can get along with them. It takes two to fight, you know, and they get along fine. You know, I also see that there's some truth here. You say, a young person says to me, but Christianity, as you men teach it from the Word of God, is so mystical. In other words, you talk about the Lord that's up in glory. The Savior that's in our midst and we can't see Him. I wish you had been there that day. Because you could have held hands with Thomas. You know, he thought the same. You know what the Lord did? The Lord showed up and He said, well, Thomas, you're going to make a good scientist. You want proof for everything. You want research. You want to look. You want to see. You want to feel. Okay, Thomas, here are the hands that were pierced for you. Here are the feet that were nailed to the cross, the side into which a spear was placed. And it made a believer out of Thomas. He said, my Lord and my God. Oh, let me say, the Lord Jesus is not only present this afternoon, but the proof of His presence, the warmth of the heart, the seeing of Him by faith, the hearing of His voice, the nearness of the Savior to the individual, the proof from the Word of God. This is our Lord. This is our Savior. This is our God. Do thank God for Him today. He was willing to allow them even to touch the mark if this was what they needed. Child of God, you know that He loved you. You know that He died for you. You know that He's your Savior, and to you a special blessing. For you have not seen with the natural eye, and yet you believe. Thank God the day will come when we shall in glory see a multitude of people, countless number of people there, and in that number in the midst is a person who bears the marks of Calvary. We'll see Him then as we have never seen Him on earth. We'll love Him then as we've tried to love Him on earth. We'll praise and adore Him as we would like, and the multitudes of heaven will sing His praise and move at His bidding, and what a wonderful day it will be. We'll see the marks that were made at Calvary because of you, because of me. We'll see a brow that carries yet the marks of the crown of thorns, and faith will give place to sight. We'll see Him, we'll be like Him, we'll be with Him forever and ever. Is it worth it to go back to the little town and work in your store? Seek to be a testimony to your neighbor. Seek to meet together, though only one or two, a very few, and maintain a testimony for the Lord. I say it is. It's worth it if you had to be all alone, because you'll be with the countless multitudes in glory for all eternity, and you'll never be alone again. And the truth of the matter is, you're not alone now, because the Lord Jesus will honor you. He will honor you. The people were there. The presence of the Lord was felt. The proof of the resurrection was seen. And the peace of God was felt. And that meeting in the little room was never forgotten by the disciples as long as any one of them lived, because they had seen the Lord. Once again, as I close, I want to say to you, I've had a little look at times at groups of people who meet together all around us, and I'm very happy, and I'm very content, and I'm very satisfied to meet with the Lord's people, who gather to a person who comes together in the midst midst of his people as he has said he would, with no name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with no organizational headquarters, but the headquarters that are up there, and the guidebook that's called the Holy Scriptures. Oh, what a fellowship. Some of you are here today. I don't see any of you, but some of you surely are here from Sioux City. They have a dear brother there after the conference. The conference was aired over FM. I believe it was Brother McGee, if I remember correctly, had been speaking about meeting together and loving one another as God's people. And this gentleman has come to the chapel at Sioux City. I was there a few Sundays ago. And that man, his face just beams as he listens to the Word of God. Of course, I knew what he was really thrilled in, so I spoke on owning no name but his name and loving the Lord's people. We're all brothers and sisters. He just beams when he hears that. I don't know where he went to church. I'm glad I don't know. But I don't know where. But wherever it was, they don't believe we're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And he's just thrilled. We belong to the Lord. It doesn't matter who you are. You are saved. You're my brother, whether you like it or you don't. You're in the family. And this is God's word. And that's why I'm very happy where I am. I want to say that as I look around, sometimes the fields look very green. You younger ones know what I'm talking about. You say, but I do meet with the Lord's people and I seek to help in a gospel chapel or a gospel hall or a little Bible teaching church. And I do look around and things often do look green in other places. You know, that's what happened when the man wanted to sell his house. And he said, well, Mom, we don't like this place. This place is too big. And these rooms are too old. And look at that old basement. Look how big it is. You have to keep it clean. So he went to the real estate agent and he said, I want to sell the old place. Mom and I are going to buy a new house. And so he wrote up the advertisement and he put it in the paper. Before he put it in the paper, he thought he ought to read it through the man. So coming to the house, he read through it. He said, it's a lovely home. It has a very fine yard, a full basement. It has a double garage, and there's plenty of attic space and plenty of rooms, and the kitchen's nice and large. And they have a good setup there. They had a dishwasher. He went over all the things, and the man looked so sad. He said, what's the matter? You look so sad. This is what the man said. He said, I don't think we'll sell it. He said, we've been looking for a place like this for a long time. Is it not true? The Lord's people are here. The presence of the Savior is here. The peace of God and peace with God is known. And the proof of the resurrection of Christ is seen all around us in the salvation of precious souls and the reading and teaching of the Word of God. You can't ask for anything better.